engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, good morning, everyone. We want to welcome you here to Priests for Life, and we also have our Facebook audience joining us as we often broadcast these special events. This is, as you know, our volunteer Christmas celebration. We want to have a little time of prayer here and then take you into our cafe for some lunch and fellowship together. So we welcome you, glad you could make it. And we're just going to pray very informally. I want to do a scripture, a reflection, and then intercessory prayer for the church and the world and all the needs that you and we have. We bring those all before the Lord who comes to save us and whose coming we celebrate in this season. So let's begin here now in prayer. Let's please stand. And Father Dennis has prepared the music for us, and he's got the song sheets that you've been given. And we begin with the O Come All Ye Faithful.
Come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, King of angels. Come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Choirs of angels sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord God, we eagerly await the fulfillment of your promise of salvation in us and in the world. We acknowledge the coming of Christ your Son. We proclaim that he will come again, and we welcome his coming each day in our lives through prayer, through the word, through the sacraments, through Christian living. We welcome your Son, Lord God, because you have sent him as the one and only Savior of the human family. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, the one born in Bethlehem, the one who made Bethlehem, the one adored and worshipped by the wise men and by wise men and women of every generation. We thank you, Lord, for sending him into this world. We thank you for his future coming as judge of the world. Enlighten and enliven our spirits with Advent hope, that we may indeed look to Christ for the fulfillment of every promise, for the conquering of every evil, and for the fullness of life itself. We pray through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. And we listen now to this gospel reading from the second chapter of Luke. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the whole world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. But the angel said to them, "You have nothing to fear. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, friends, you may be seated, and we welcome you once again here to the national and international headquarters of Priests for Life. Thank you for being our faithful volunteers, people who help in so many different ways, whether it's getting us to and from the airport as our team and I travel around to proclaim the pro-life message, or helping us get our mailings out that are proclaiming the message as well, and also bringing in the funding that we need to do this work, or filling the orders for pro-life material people want to have, or helping on the computer or in social media. All the different ways that you help us are so necessary, and we always acknowledge, helping in the kitchen as well, Janet is reminding me. These and many different ways are all helping us get the work done, and very much appreciated. Well, we are here together to celebrate another Advent and Christmas, and the words we just heard are, of course, the famous words from Luke's Gospel of the announcement of the birth of Christ. And there are a few things about this scripture passage that we should call to mind as we understand even more deeply the reality of Christmas and what it means for us. First of all, that there was no room for them in the inn. Now, the promised coming of Christ was promised in great detail for many centuries before it happened. The place of his birth was foretold. The circumstances of his birth were foretold. And not only of his birth, but of his life, of his crucifixion, of his resurrection. We can read throughout the prophets so many of the details that later unfolded. And we're talking about God, who owns every inch of space in the universe because he created it, and who knows everything, past, present, and future. So all of this preparation is made for God to send his son into the world, and then when it happens, there's no room for them in the inn. And you have to think that there's no way that God forgot to prepare that detail. God doesn't forget anything. There's no way that God was unable to provide a room. He created the whole universe. The only conclusion you can come to is that God did this on purpose, that there's a meaning to there being no room in the inn, and that meaning is part of the very proclamation of his coming and why he came. Of course there was no room. Of course God did it on purpose, because he's sending his son into a world that rejected God already. That's why he had to come, in order to save us, in order to reconcile us. God and sinners reconciled, as the Christmas hymns tell us. God is coming into the world that's alienated from him, estranged from him. There's a gap, there's a divide, there's an abyss. And the fact that there's no room in the inn represents all that. It represents the world into which he's coming that makes no room for God, that in fact deliberately has excluded God from the inn of our own hearts, lives, national life, policies, business practices, right all across the board. God is rejected by sin. Christ comes to remedy that. Make room for me in the inn of your hearts and your lives, your families and your businesses, your politics and your laws. Make room for me. And his coming makes that possible, because he rebuilds that intimacy between God and the human family. In fact, he rebuilds it in a surprise way. And this brings us to the second lesson we can derive from this passage. The angel said that today is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now the prophets, when they did foretell the coming of the Lord, said God would send his Messiah. So what they were looking forward to was the Messiah of the Lord to come into the world. Now Messiah is a Hebrew word which means anointed one. Priests, prophets, kings throughout the Old Testament, anyone who had a special mission given to them by God, was anointed with oil, a sign of strength. Strength to carry out that mission. When you say Messiah, anointed one, in Greek, it's Christ. So Christ the Messiah, it's the same word. So the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ of the Lord, was foretold. But when he came, the angel didn't just say this was the Messiah of the Lord. The angel said this is the Messiah and Lord. This is the Messiah who also is the Lord. The Lord didn't just send somebody, he came himself. This is the marvel of Christmas, that the child conceived and born within Mary is God. That's why we call Mary the mother of God, because Christ is God. The baby is God. So this is Messiah and Lord. So we talk about an intimacy between God and humanity. There could be no greater intimacy, because now God created a human body and a human soul and said not, this is yours, this is yours, this is yours, like he said when he created us. He created a human body and soul and said, this is mine. I am now existing in a human nature. I'm not ceasing to be God, but I'm existing now in a human nature. Humanity and divinity have been joined together. And God took on our humanity so that we could take on his divinity. And that has happened to us, hasn't it? By faith, by baptism, by embracing the life of Christ, we are now living not only a human life, we're living a divine life. That life begins in us. Christ, as Scripture says all over the place, Christ living in us. We living in him, and then that life blossoms in all its fullness in eternity. We have the life of God in us now, and therefore we understand the meaning of exchanging Christmas gifts. The exchange of Christmas gifts represents the exchange of natures that has occurred between God and humanity. Us giving God, if you will, our humanity, and he giving us his divinity. That's the exchange of gifts, right? That's the big exchange of gifts. And every exchange of gifts at Christmas represents that. It's a beautiful thing. And then the third lesson brought out here is that the good news of this salvation is for all the people. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I give you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So who's he talking about? Just all the people that were in Bethlehem and Judea? Or just all the people that were in the whole world at that time? Or does he mean all the people, from Adam the first man to the last human being who will ever be created? That's what he means. All the people. Christ is the Savior of everyone. Everyone who came before him in human history and longed with hope and confidence in God in the Savior that would come. And everyone born after him in human history, longing for the day when he will come again. All the people. And all the people means not only all of them chronologically, but also all of them at every level at any moment in history. In other words, the poor as well as the rich, the lowly as well as those of high stature, the powerless and insignificant in the eyes of the world, that is, as well as the powerful and mighty rulers, the healthy as well as the sick, those of white skin and black skin and brown and red, those born and those still unborn, for all the people. And this ties in with our work so well, doesn't it? Because as Alvita, you're ready to sing with Father Dennis, right? Father Dennis and Alvita, I'll let the two of you carry it, are going to sing one of our favorite Christmas hymns after we have a little period of silent reflection. And in that hymn, O Holy Night, we will hear the words that the abolitionists got circulated throughout the world in this the English translation of this hymn, because it applied so perfectly to the meaning of the incarnation. If God has taken our humanity upon himself, if there's been an exchange of natures and human beings now become sons and daughters of God, well then no human being can be disrespected, trampled upon, enslaved or killed, or regarded as less valuable or worthy of protection than any other human being. This is Christmas. It is not only a gift given to us, it's an obligation imposed on us that we respect and protect every human life and free people from oppression and free them from slavery, free them from segregation, free them from abortion. Truly, he taught us to love one another. The hymn says, "His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. And in his name, all oppression shall cease." That's why we have a pro-life movement. That's why we have Priests for Life. That's why we're here. That's why we need you as volunteers. That's why we do the work we do, and that's why we will never stop doing the work that we do. Because chains shall he break. This is why he came. In reconciling us to God, he reconciles us to one another. In overcoming that divide, that abyss, that chasm, that alienation that existed between the human family and Almighty God, he overcomes the gap, the abyss, the alienation, the division, the prejudice, that the oppression that exists between human beings. He gets rid of it. And he calls us to get rid of it. Chains shall he break, and all oppression shall cease, and abortion shall cease. And this mentality that causes some people to look down on other people and to say you're less of a person and you're less of a human and you're less worthy of protection. I have good news of great joy for all the people. And that's why I wrote a little booklet called Christmas for the Unborn. Because it's for all the people, including them. It's a booklet that you can get, and it has all kinds of reflections on Advent and Christmas and the relationship between our faith and our commitment to defend the children in the womb. ChristmasfortheUnborn.org is the website where you can get that. And there we are, the coming of Christ. The meaning, the purpose, the reality. Come, Lord Jesus. We eagerly await your coming again. We eagerly welcome your coming into our lives each day. And we ask that this Advent and Christmas celebration this year will bring us closer than ever to you, will free us from sin, and will make us effective advocates for the breaking of every chain of oppression, especially for our unborn brothers and sisters. We ask this of you, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen.
Stand for this meditation hymn, Father Refer to Holy Night.
To be our friend.
And the coming of Christ in the flesh gives us all the more confidence to pray now for our needs. We pray for the Church of God throughout the world, that she may continue to proclaim the coming of Christ and prepare people for his second coming. Let us pray to the Lord. For the overcoming of every injustice, and that the rights of all may be respected and protected in law, we pray to the Lord. That governments may resolve their conflicts by giving themselves over to Christ, the Prince of Peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the work and ministry of Priests for Life and of our family of ministries, for Silent No More, for civil rights for the unborn, for missionaries of the gospel of life, for Rachel's Vineyard, for the Parliamentary Network for Critical Issues, for Stand True Youth Outreach, and for all our different ministries and works, and all those who work with us, we pray to the Lord. For the people who are supporting this work throughout the nation and around the world, that God may continue to inspire them with generosity, we pray to the Lord. And for all those who are ill, especially among those we know and in our own families, that they may be strengthened and comforted, that they may be healed according to God's will and comforted by God's people, we pray to the Lord. And that those who have died may, by the power of Christ's birth on earth, be born anew in heaven, we pray to the Lord. And now let us sum up all our prayers and praises by offering the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord God, thank you for this observance. Thank you for the faith we have in the coming of Christ. Bless and protect us now. May we proclaim your name always and everywhere to the ends of the earth. We ask this through the same Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And may the Lord be with you. And may he pour out upon you his blessing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Let us go in his peace.
Our herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled.
Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heavenly Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, present with healing in his wings. While he lays his glory by, born and dead, and only God, but to raise us up to heaven, born to give them second birth.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.